It's time for an inside look at the most powerful motorsport on the planet, WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
Hey, everybody, WFO, two races to go in the 2021 NHRA Camping World Drag Racing Series season. It's going to be great. Championship battles are very, very close. On this edition of WFO Radio NHRA Nitro, you'll hear from Angel, who got her 45th career win. That's a massive victory and got real close to the points lead. Like, she's just 25 some odd points out. And so we're going to speak with Angel after her win in Bristol. The first time the bikes were in Bristol in this century, right? Two decades for the most part since those Winston Showdown days. And we're going to speak with Angel about her win. If you're a fan of Pro Stock Motorcycle or NHRA or Angel in general, you want to share this show. Like, no doubt, share this show. She's down in the ready room. We're going to bring her on in just a couple of seconds. But I want to shout out to the people who make it possible for me to do this show, sit around and chase drag racers around all day long, right? Like, where are the drag racers? We got to chase them down tomorrow. It's going to be Alexis DeJoria at 1 p.m. Eastern time. And I know we bounce around on the time a little bit, but that is at the convenience of the drivers. And it's been amazing. We've been able to get them all so far this year. Thanks to our sponsors like Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. The Dragster Adventure is what I'm always talking about because it's the easiest way for you to learn what these drivers know, that driving race cars is fun. And he makes it affordable and easy. And you can siphon a lot of knowledge off of Frank if you go on the Dragster Adventure. I am already pushing the holidays. It's like pre-Black Friday, right? Like, holiday gift. This is the gift. This is the gift to get. Everybody else, they don't know what to get. This is the gift to get. Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School, Dragster Adventure, frankhawley.com. Our great friends at samtech.edu, educating the next generation of engine builders and machinists and crew members and CNC programmers and all of that stuff at samtech.edu. Motorsport EFI Tuning, they were a big part of the Engine Performance Expo. Really appreciate them. If that is your future career path, you don't need to be a teenager to do it, by the way. You can go down that road. They can help you get placed in the industry you want. Go to samtech.edu. Total Seal Piston Rings, the leader in ring seal technology, totalseal.com. High-level technology unlocks the hidden horsepower in your engine. 40% of your engine's friction comes from the piston rings. Did you know that? They can reduce that number, and that's where the hidden horsepower part of it comes into play. Subscribe to the podcast, Apple Podcast, Spotify, SoundCloud, called Hidden Horsepower. Search for it after the show, Hidden Horsepower, and you can get it at totalseal.com. And finally, Marvin Rodak, who I spoke with this morning, 817-924-6821. If you love coffee, hot sauce, spice rub, he was out there at the Texas Motorplex Stampede of Speed, walking around, working the crowd, making deals, and he's doing a great job. Marvin Rodak, and I started my day with a little Rodak's coffee. You should too, so you learn what it's all about. So much better than the vacuum-packed garbage in the grocery stores. Garbage, garbage. All right, it's time to bring on our guest of honor. She won it out there at Thunder Valley. Got the job done. She was just on a few weeks ago. Maybe it was a premonition. She is back. Angel. Angel, welcome back. Congratulations.
Hey, how are you?
I am great. I am great. It was a big race out there. It was kind of interesting to see all of you on a track that you hadn't really raced at before. Like, how often does that happen? Not really. And you were one of the few racers that was there the first time around. What was it like going back to Bristol?
I don't really remember the track all that well. That was 20 years ago. I was confused because I thought we raced there. So I'm not sure what we did if the Pro Stock Motorcycles didn't compete. Because they're telling me that I'm the first Pro Stock Motorcycle winner at the Bristol racetrack. So I don't remember. That was too long ago. But it sure was nice to go back to that area to meet some new fans or old fans, you know, people that had been there 20 years ago. But I think it was mostly new fans that we had never met before. It's always great to go to a new area and bring the Pro Stock bikes there and grow our fan following. I love Pro Stock Motorcycles. I just love the class. I love the competition, especially these days with how tough it is. So anytime we can go to a new area and build our fan base is always good for us. So we were glad to be in Bristol, and it sure was a beautiful facility. I mean, they fixed it up so nice and beautiful, and I love the red on the tower. It was absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah, it's one of the, it's funny that you say that, because I had a couple of people from South Florida go up there for the very first time. And they mentioned, you know, Z-Max gets all the hype, right, in Vegas.
Yeah.
And And that this track is on par with them.
Oh, it's definitely. Beautiful. Yeah.
The view from the tower, I don't know if you got to go up in any of the suites, but the view is second to none. It's beautiful.
Yeah, and I didn't get to go to sleep. I wish I would have, because we had an awesome parking spot. The big screen, the Sunoco Vision was in our pit area, so we were able to see the racetrack, see the tower, see the end of the track, see the Sunoco Vision, see everything. But that was one thing I didn't do, was to go into the tower and look out, and I wish I would have, because I bet it was crazy. I have to say my favorite part was that it's in the valley, Thunder Valley. So I don't know this for a fact, but we didn't have any crosswinds all weekend long. And I wonder, do they ever have crosswinds at that racetrack? Because they have the valley on both sides, or the hills on both sides. And if there's never a crosswind, that's a big plus for me.
Interesting. Okay, so now I understand how you got this photo. I was wondering, like, how did Angel? She sent me some photos, guys. We're going to talk about the photos and the race win, of course, just catching up now. But she sent me this, and I'm like, it brought back a flashback, because I'm about to break the helmets out on everybody, right? The renewal promotion, which sold out, by the way, which is great.
Oh, good.
Like, what is Angel taking photographs of the Sunoco Vision? Like, she's in her leathers up there. And now I understand.
Yeah, in my pit.
That was good.
I had a front row seat to the whole race all weekend long.
Yeah. You know, you guys were right there by the track, which is a great thing for the racers who have that. Clay Milliken was also in the same situation, right along the track. But I'm sure that's a little interesting. So we got people out there on social media, everybody checking in, just saying what's up. Barrichello saying hi, Joe and Angel, and Bill saying congratulations, Angel. And a lot of people saying what's up. Roger Richards, a lot of stuff. We'll talk about the track. This guy's a top fan. Everybody is saying what's up.
Oh, that's my friend. That's Lou right there.
Yeah.
She's one of the ones we're going to talk about in a little while.
Let's talk about it right now. Because to me, this is the best part of the story, because you know, in championship contention, getting these wins, but we know that every one of these wins is super special. But are you like the rest of us, where your regular friends maybe don't fully understand what's going on out there in drag racing world? And the answer is no, they understand. They tracked you down. They painted up your car. They got crazy with it. Tell us about what happened.
Yeah, well, actually, it's a little bit of both. They have no idea what goes on in drag racing. They're very new to the sport. We became friends through our gym. We all work out together, and we have the same lifestyle as far as eating healthy and working out every day like crazy people at 4 o'clock in the morning, 5:30 in the morning, depending on the day. So they are very new to the sport. They came to Dallas with me, and it was a great little getaway for them, because they were all affected by Hurricane Ida. And so they came to Dallas and watched me race. Unfortunately, I did not win there, but they learned a little bit about the sport. And then we go to Bristol, and I did win. And they were so excited, and they got to watch it on TV and followed it on NHRA.com. So they wanted to come to the airport with Seth to pick me up. And this was just a few of them. There's more that came to Dallas with us, but not everybody could make it. So, yeah, they colored up my car, and it was so funny. I was waiting on the curb for Seth to pick me up, thinking it was just going to be him. And they all jump out of the car yelling and screaming. And one of the funny things is they call me Angel, because they think it's hilarious that fans, or, you know, a lot of people say Angel, and that's not how you say my name. So when they came to Dallas and they heard everybody calling me Angel, you see it's written on there.
Yes.
They're like, what is Angel? Because it's actually pronounced, it's French. It's French for angel, and it's pronounced Angel. So, you know, when everybody around here says Angel, Angel, and then they hear Angel, they thought it was hilarious. So that Angel is on the side of my truck. So I just washed it all off, though.
Well, it makes sense. After a while, you don't want everybody knowing that that's your vehicle out there.
Exactly. My license plate kind of gives it away, but.
Yes. Well, we won't give that. We won't give that on the air. Yeah. But I have tried to moderate the way that I say your name as soon as I learned that. It's like, oh, Angel, bad. Okay.
Yeah, nope.
Angel is what I try. Am I close? I'm in the neighborhood.
Angel, yeah. It's the A-N is pronounced like O-N, but you don't even finish the N. It's A-N. And then the last part is gel, like Jacques Cousteau, but it's Angel.
Because of the French.
And isn't it so much prettier, Angel, prettier than Angel?
Angel, yeah. It's like something you get at the pharmacist. Like
I've been called Angel, Angelie, Angel, Angela, everything but Angel when I'm outside of Louisiana.
No, that makes sense to me. Do you speak like some form of Creole, like
I know some French words, but they're not good ones, not proper for a lady to say.
Right.
But
makes us want to see them more.
Yeah, I know a lot of slang, you know, French slang. But my mother understands all of it and speaks it pretty well, but she's probably the last generation. We're losing it. My grandparents, all four of them, were fluent and spoke French most of the time. They,
oh, wow.
You know, they didn't speak a whole bunch. I mean, they spoke English very well, but when they were together, they always spoke French.
Got it. So, well, that yeah. makes sense. And, you know, my dad speaks Italian and I don't speak Italian.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that debate happened when I was a kid. And it's just like, you know, that's the way it is. America makes Americans.
Yep.
And eventually down the road, we're all Americans. And that's the way it works. It's good stuff. Okay. So it's good that you're having a good time. I love the fact. I have to ask you this, though, like your friends showed up, right? The thing about drag racing, we all wanted to be super popular and we all wanted to be more popular and your friends showed up and surprised you at the airport. But what if it was a bunch of just drag racing fans? Like, that's a different level of fame, right? Like, we're not there yet. Like, friends show up. But what if just a bunch of crazy drag racing fans? Like, do we want to be that famous? And I was just wondering about that. Like baseball.
I have the best of both worlds because I'm not that famous. Only in the drag racing world, you know, do people know who I am. And I do believe we have the best fans in all of the land, you know, whether it be motorsports fans, sports fans. I think our people are just wonderful. They understand that we're just regular people like everybody else. And, you know, they treat us like they put us up on a pedestal. But when you actually get to speak to someone face to face, it's just a good conversation. We're all the same. We're all equal. My mom raised me to understand that I'm not better than anyone and no one's better than me. We're all the same. So I really love NHRA fans. I think it would be fun to have people show up at the airport like that. But you're right. You know, you want to have your privacy. And that's where I say I have the best of both worlds. I can go shopping at Walmart. And in my hometown, most people know who I am, basically because I live in a small town and we all just know each other. It has nothing to do with fame. We just all know each other. But I can go to a Walmart, let's say, you know, in Baton Rouge, and nobody's going to know who I am. And so that's awesome. But when I go to the Walmart near the drag races, I'm constantly running into people like, oh, there she is. That's Angel, because they're all there for the races. So it makes it fun, but it's not aggravating or it doesn't invade any kind of privacy level. So I love it.
That's good. Now, will this make you nervous? Your mom and dad are watching.
Oh, look at my mom and dad, my good old mom and dad. Yep. So they are my biggest fans because a lot of people say I'm your biggest fan. Nope. They're my biggest fans. Can't beat those two. And my dad's actually the one that got me started in racing. My mom's the one that pushed me all my life, told me that I could do anything I wanted to do. She used to wake me up in the mornings when I had something to do at school or whether it was a beauty pageant that she would always put me in. She would wake me up singing the Once There Was a Rubber Tree Plant. No, Once There Was a Little Old Ant Tried to Move a Rubber Tree Plant. But everybody knows an aunt can't. Yeah, High Hopes. But she would sing that to me to wake me up. And my mom always told me I could do anything. So I believed it.
You want to sing it together?
You don't want to hear me sing.
Neither me
if my either. Friend Dawn could come on with us, I'd make her sing it, although she'd probably be too shy. So she sings very well, though. And she's one of the girls in that picture.
We'll work on it for the future. Walt is out there, says it was the Pro Stock
Walt
Dash at Bristol. Is Walt, who is a behind the scenes guy helping out a lot. That's where you raced. And let's talk about some results here. And then I got some other questions.
So it wasn't a real NHRA race. It was just like the bike battle. I'm still confused on what we did there.
It was a specialty race because you guys were here alongside, I think, the Winston Showdown when Top
Fuel. Yeah, when they were racing the funny car against the Top Fuel Dragster. I remember that.
So it wasn't like a points race, but you have been there and yada, yada, yada. So let's talk about the actual win. Scotty Polachek was the number one qualifier, and you had a tough road because you had to start off against Andrew. Now, I heard some things. People are posting up there about the track surface, and it was bumpy. We all talked about it being bumpy, and I was wondering, like, how would this feel on a bike, right? And how did it feel on a bike? And I had heard anecdotally, you were happy the race was over. You're happy you made it through. You were unsure of the situation. And you weren't the only person I heard that from. So kind of walk us through what it was like to be on a bike. Andrew showed me some charts, right? He's like, look at this, man.
Yeah.
The line is going
up. Rough.
So what was it like?
It was not fun. I mean, it was scary enough. I didn't have any runs in qualifying. I had the first round going on right lane and it was really bumpy. I didn't make the full pass. The second run, I went straight to the wall and hit a bunch of bumps. Then the third run, I can't even remember what happened. I think that's when my throttle didn't work. And then I tried to go and then locked up the gears on me. But so I was pretty scared of the racetrack going into Sunday. And I had Andrew first round. And I even made a joke to him that if he wanted to buy a run, I wouldn't mind sitting this one out. So it was that rough and, you know, that scary. The motorcycles feel every little bitty bump in the racetrack. And then when they get unsettled, the tire breaks loose and it'll start wobbling on you. And one time I even went into a little tank slapper and it came out, but it was pretty scary. When I raced against Eddie, I rolled off the throttle because my bike was starting to get so out of control. I didn't like it a lot. So I rolled off the throttle, got it back in control a little bit and then got back on the throttle. Figured I was going to lose the race, but I didn't realize that Eddie's bike had lost traction and spun out on him and went towards the wall and he shut it off. So I was lucky to get past that round because if Eddie had had a good run, I think he would have got me. So as beautiful as the facility is, I really love being there. I definitely was, as much as I enjoyed the facility, I was that scared of the racetrack. And every round, I was just praying for safety, you know, asking God to keep me and every other driver out there safe. And it seemed like, you know, I was okay. If I win this round, great. If I don't win this round, great. I don't have to go down the track again. And I just kept winning. And so we finally got to the final round against Karen. And I figured, well, I got to do it one more time. I might as well win this thing. And I just gave it everything I had. And actually, that was the best run to get the bike down the track. I think I went the straightest. I still hit all the bumps, but the bike didn't get as out of control. And amazingly, we got it done because Karen was one awesome competitor that day.
Yes. Well, it's interesting to see, the two ladies in the final round and Pro Stock Bike. It's not as out of the ordinary because there's so many mm-hmm. lady racers out there. Angie didn't get to race because of her finger thing. And, but you got Kelly out there getting around yeah. and she was super, that was exciting. But Karen has been such an intense competitor over the years. It was great to see you guys get there, but you got through Eddie and Andrew again. That's been mm-hmm. happening kind of on a regular basis. The lucky round was Chris Bostic. He left a little bit early, turned it red, and that sets up.
Well, I knew that I saw that red.
Oh.
When I took off, yeah, I saw his red come on, and I took off. The bike went towards the wall. I hung off the side. It got a little squirrely on me. I could have brought it back, but I didn't feel like there was any need to fight it. You know, why risk it? And, I saw the red, so I decided I'm going to go ahead and roll off the throttle and save this thing before it gets too out of control. So that's why, I would have tried harder had he gone green, but I saw the red, so.
There it is.
I didn't run it all the way out. Yep.
And yeah, it's distracting. The run against Eddie was crazy because my eyes were on Eddie because I felt like, oh my gosh, Eddie got so close to the wall. He stayed with him for a long, long time, but he did his Eddie thing, right? Like the guy is ice and he realized the right move, but you and Karen in the final round. I don't know. I've been thinking like we in the NHRA or the NHRA or all of us, we don't want to make a big deal about our lady racers anymore because it's such a normal thing mm-hmm. all the time, but maybe we're selling ourselves short a little bit because there's you like 45 wins. Now Karen has been so great. You're racing each other in the final round. Like that is out of the ordinary in it's just totally out of the ordinary. I'm sorry. It was the first time since 2017. I guess Brittany and Leah raced each other in a final round and Arizona. It's still out of the ordinary to see that. And you guys get to the final round, you get to race each other.
Yeah. Well, and then we had Alexis in the winner's circle with me too. So we had two females up there and that was awesome because I love her. I wanted her to do well. She was number one qualifier. I just figured she deserved it. But yeah, Karen and I started this whole thing at the same race at Bandamere Speedway in July of 1996. So we've been out there together for several years. I took some time off. She took some time off, but we're both back in it. And she's running that weekend, at least this past weekend, she was also running the Vance and Hines 4-valve, which you could see what her and Tim Kalungian did with that thing this weekend. It was amazing. So it was exciting. I knew that she was going to be tough and she was on her game with her reaction times, which she does every once in a while. When she's on it, she's hard to beat. And I knew that we were going to go into the final and she was going to cut a good light. So my only chance was to leave first. And that's what happened. And It was awesome for me, particularly because of my win against Joey in Charlotte. It was pretty embarrassing for me. I had a bad reaction time, and Joey got out on me, and his kill switch came loose from the bike and killed the engine, and that was the only reason I won that round. So I had to take it. I had to remind myself that I earned my way to the final round in Charlotte, but I didn't feel like I earned the win. So this one, my team earned that win for me. I didn't. So this one, I actually felt so grateful to have done my job as well as my team did theirs. And I feel redemption now.
Wow.
Felt good.
Great. Well, that's a good place to be with two races remaining. You're 25 points behind Matt Smith. You're a little bit ahead of Steve Johnson, who's 56 back of Matt Smith, who stumbled. Eddie's 111 back. Scotty's 160 mm-hmm. back. So I was debating with Reinhardt yesterday about, you know, like who's still in the mix. Matt, you and Steve are definitely still in the mix with points and a half at the finals. Yeah. Eddie would really have to make a move immediately at Vegas and catch a break. But there's no doubt that you are in contention for a championship, and like the gravity of that, like, oh my gosh, like who knows how it'll go, but like, that is a huge deal. You've got a fast bike. You've got your crew chiefs right behind the scenes. They know how to get this thing done. And what a unique situation you find yourself in. 25. I told you at the start of the season, Angel, 25 points, two races to go. Can you make something out of that? I'm pretty confident you'd say yes.
Yeah, it's definitely a possibility. I'm trying not to count the points or look at it too hard. You know, I don't like to want things too bad because that's a bad problem I have. I want to win so bad that I usually mess myself up by thinking about it, getting into my head too much. So I'm trying to be really relaxed about it. And actually, it's pretty unbelievable how relaxed I am. I have the perfect outlook on it. So if I win the championship, it would be amazing. It would be the greatest thing that ever happened. Like you said, you know, coming back after all these years and getting another championship would be unbelievable. But I also am at that point in my life where I realize the things that I have succeeded at already on and off of the racetrack. And I've had a wonderful career. I've had a wonderful time out there. And if I don't get the number one back on the motorcycle, then I'm still going to walk away with a smile on my face and my chin held high, because in the past I've lost championships and it really affected me massively. Like, I just messed up my life. I didn't want to see anybody. Didn't want to talk to anybody. Didn't want to be around anybody. I didn't want to do anything. I was depressed, and I can't do that anymore. I have to understand that there's more to life than drag racing. And I'm just lucky enough to be able to have both, you know, a good family, a good home life, and then a wonderful career on the track. So, but it does not mean that I'm trying any less. I'm just trying to keep my head straight because I know what the capabilities of this team, Vance and Hines, and we have Mission Foods on board this year. They've been so fun. Vance and Hines, as well as Mission Foods, are all about winning. If you guys have never checked out missionfoods.com to see all the motorsports programs that they're involved in, they sponsor a lot of different types of racing, and they are so fun and so involved with their racers. And to be able to bring them a championship would be a dream come true. And Vance and Hines went out on a limb and put me on the Suzuki at the beginning of the year. They weren't even sure they were even going to be back out this year. You saw how Andrew and Eddie weren't coming out at the very beginning. It was kind of just on a whim. Hey, let's put her out there and see what we can do with this. And so what a gift it would be to give them, you know, the championship for what they gave me to bring me back out for one more year. I'm not sure yet what's going to happen next year. We're back at that time of the year where, am I going to be here or am I not going to be here? I don't know. So we'll know that soon, I hope. But
say what?
No guarantees.
Yeah, well, listen, allow me to politic a little bit on your behalf. Are you crazy, people? Angel needs to be out there. Obviously, the fan reaction has been incredible. The on-track reaction has been incredible. Like, what kind of sport are we going to have when our winningest lady racer, 45 career victories, rallying and charging up there to the lead overall, is in question? No.
I think it's a question for a lot of people all the time. You know, we don't know what the financial situation is going to be like with sponsorship. Like I said, this was something that Vance and Hines wanted to try and see how things go. So I'm hoping that they're happy and they want to continue. I'm hoping that Mission's happy and they want to continue. I don't know. I don't know where we're going with this, but I know that I'm not ready to quit, especially if I don't get that number one. I'm not going to be ready to quit. So I have a lot more left in me. The passion has not died down one single bit from 25 years ago or however many years ago. I'm more passionate about racing today than I was the first day I stepped foot out there. I've actually grown because now I have just as much passion, just as much drive, even more determination, and better focus and a better mentality about the whole thing. So it's perfect. And I do need to stay out here. So I'm hoping that that happens.
Well, wisdom, right? Like the wisdom.
Exactly.
You have all the intensity of youth, but you also have the wisdom, and you've got your little girls that you're trying to show out for, and it's working. Like that whole thing is working. Yeah. And Mission Foods, right? Like they came on board and they had race car shaped chips, and they immediately made motorcycle shaped
motorcycle
program, the computer, make them shaped like a motorcycle. And they seem to be doing the right thing to activate. And I know whenever I can get them, and I've got a friend who has a distributorship right down here in South Florida. And I immediately like, hey man, that's Drag Racing Connected. You need to get out there and work, get up early. So good stuff. All right. So this past weekend, I'm wondering if we can talk about this, because I got to hang out. You mentioned the start of your career. I was doing a thing called the Engine Performance Expo, and they had one of the, you know, world renowned motorcycle engine builders, George Bryce, was there. And he and I got to spend a little time in a restaurant, and he just he does his own things, and such a big fan of yours, obviously. And told me a couple of stories. I wonder if I can run by you and just get your take, because they're fresh in my mind. Something that he told the story, and he told it on the air, was that the whole Winston thing was serendipity, that you were racing at Bandimere and that Winston executives were literally driving by on the highway and saw your pink helmet on the Sunoco Vision, Jumbotron, Winston Vision at the time, and said, hey, let's go look at this drag racing. Yeah, let's go Winston drag racing. And they stopped in, and that was like the origin, genesis to the whole Winston deal. Now, I believe George, but what's your version of that?
Yeah, I know one of the guys, the, you know, up high up on the ladder, his wife was the one that saw me racing, and she wanted to meet me. She said, I want to go meet that girl. So they brought her to our pit and introduced her. And I don't remember this happening, but I know the story. I don't remember that exact moment of meeting her, but they came down and met me in the pit, and I was probably a nervous wreck because I was, you know, just trying to get through the race. And she told her husband how much she loved me. And then one thing led to another. Winston started paying attention, though. It was Winston drag racing at the time.
Yes.
So, you know, they were already out there. And I think Gary Selzy was already in the car, and Whit Bazemore was in the funny car. And so they just started talking about putting me on a Winston Pro Stock motorcycle, and it actually happened. And I couldn't believe it, because it was at the very beginning of my career. And it's what launched me, you know, in the whole sport, because they did so much with me. I can remember they would put these huge ads, like full page ads in USA Today, of me on the motorcycle. And one day I asked them, how much did that cost? And I think it was like, I don't know, $150,000 to $200,000 for an ad for one single day. And I told them, I said, you think maybe you could do like half a page and give me the rest of the money? So, but anyway, they were just awesome. I was on the back of probably every single magazine that you can name. They had bought out the back cover. I was on TV Guide and Time Magazine and People Magazine. I mean, you name it, they had Winston ads on. So, I mean, there was things, for example, I can give you this one little story, since you want to talk about old stories. I'm from Louisiana, so we don't have a bunch of big cities where I live. And I didn't even know what jaywalking was. And I had to go do a talk show in Los Angeles, and I was hungry. I left my hotel room. I was walking around trying to find something to eat, and I crossed the highway. And all of a sudden I heard sirens go off, and a police officer drove up to me and got out of the car and was going to give me a ticket for jaywalking. And I was like, I don't even know what that is. And he started telling me what I had done wrong. And he's looking at me really funny the whole time he's talking to me. He's like, what are you doing here anyway? Because I guess he could hear my Cajun accent, which I've lost pretty much all the way since I started racing. I'm sure you hear some of it. But anyway, I said, I'm from Louisiana, but I race Pro Stock motorcycles in the NHRA Winston drag racing, and I'm here to do a talk show. And his face, it looked like he saw a ghost. And he gets in his car, he pulls out this Guns and Ammo magazine, and I was on the back cover of it. me on the Winston motorcycle doing a burnout, and it was a Winston ad. He's like, "Is this you?" And I said, "Yes, it's me." And so not only did I not get a jaywalking ticket that night, he took me out to dinner, and I got free dinner with the police officer, the Los Angeles cop. So that was the very beginning of my career as well. And I was like, "Oh, this is so cool. You know, people know who I am." So that was when being famous felt like it might be really cool.
Right.
And then I learned, you know, over the years that the poor people who are very, very famous can't go to the grocery store or to dinner.
They can't do anything.
Yeah, they can't do anything.
They can't do anything. But see, to me, though, you like all of these stories and, you know, taking you back, like some of this stuff. Like, I don't know, man, maybe we're underappreciating Angel and the NHRA. Right. Like we always appreciate our legends. And Shirley was out there. And when Snake is out there. But, you know, wait a second. We've got one of our great legends that is still competing and still in contention and winning races and all of this equity, like every dollar that Winston spent back then, I think is still in the minds of people. Like that guy still knows you, all those people, they're still wondering, you know, whatever happened to that? She's still racing and still winning. Like, I think that's
something. I'm glad you're putting it that way, because I always feel like maybe people think, when is she ever going to go away? Like, oh, she's still here. You know, fans will show up like, "You're still here?" And then, you know, the biggest thing is like, "You're on the Vance and Hines team now?" Everybody's freaking out about that, because that was my biggest rival. But yeah, so I'm glad to hear you put it that way, because I do feel I'm so grateful and blessed that I have been allowed, not only, you know, financially with sponsors or the willingness of the teams to keep me out here, but my physical well-being to be able to continue to do this. I work really hard to stay young and healthy. My husband's a lot younger than me, and I have two young daughters. And so they're my biggest focus, my biggest motivation to stay young and healthy. But then also it works well with the motorcycle too. So NHRA drag racing is not a real physical sport compared to even NASCAR or, you know, but like football, soccer and stuff like that. But when it comes to riding a pro stock motorcycle and being a girl as small as I am, the physicality is a big deal. So I have to stay in shape, stay in the gym, stay sharp, of course. And that's not always easy to do when you're getting as old as I am, but I'm working hard at it.
Everything's relative. And that's why we follow you on Instagram, to see you work out at the gym. And I recommend it. It's a good thing. Well, it gets you motivated. Like, man, Angel is up. Yes, I should.
You got to get an Apple Watch, and then we will share activity. So that way, when my workout's over and I'm done my workout, it dings your Apple Watch and it says, "Angel just finished the workout."
Oh,
so
yeah.
You know, every time I finish. And that's how you get motivated. So I share my activity with all my friends that work out. And when I don't feel like getting up and my Apple Watch is going off saying, "Dawn just finished a workout, Luciana just finished a workout," I got to get my butt up and go work out. So
interesting. Well, I will consider that. I had one. I broke it, and then I'm trying to live without it. But I guess. Okay, one more story. You mentioned NASCAR. And hopefully this wasn't wrong of George to tell me these great stories. It's just I wasn't around. I was kind of in the stands at that point. I was a fan. But this one blows my mind away, because I worked at NASCAR radio and I was an Earnhardt fan and I love NASCAR. I'm a drag racer who also loves NASCAR, mm-hmm. Right? So like when I see Tony Stewart is coming over to the sport, when, you know, Rick Hendrick is sponsoring Greg Anderson, all of those things, it makes me very happy, because they've grown so big over there. But you drove a Cup Series stock car. Can you share that story?
I tried to drive it, yeah.
How does that happen? Like, how does that happen? Angel out there, the big names, the personalities, the cross-pollination, like this is... I don't know, man. I think this is a big one. I don't know that it's so out there.
Not a lot of people know. Yeah, not a lot of people know about this. So it was a big secret when it happened. And I just never really talked about it since then. But 20 years ago, right after I won the championship, I'm not sure which year it was, but I was the champion. And Winston had their corporate jet in California. And we had discussed me testing in a Cup car. And just to see how I would do, if I liked it, what they thought about it. And so right after we won the championship, they flew me from Los Angeles in the Winston corporate jet, which was this huge, beautiful jet, all the way to, I think it was Greenville Pickens Speedway or something like that. I think that was the name of the track we were at. It was a little bitty one. For some reason, that's the name that pops into my head. Is that a track?
Yes.
Greenville Pickens. Okay, so I think that's where we were. So I get there, and I'm not real sure what's going on. I know I'm going to drive a car. And so I show up, and there's Richard Childress standing there and Kevin Harvick. But, of course, at the time, Kevin Harvick, I don't even think he was in Winston Cup yet. I think he was doing the Busch Series or whatever was below that at that time. And and we had borrowed a friend of mine, another Kevin, who raced road racing. It was his car. He owned it. So they put me in this car, and they tell me, well, Kevin warmed up the car for me. And he drove around the track several times and warmed it up. And I hope I'm even remembering this correctly. I'm hoping it was actually Kevin Harvick. So if I'm lying, guys, don't.
No, it was Kevin Harvick. Right? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, and it was Richard Childress, right? That was there with me. So anyway, Kevin gets in it. He warms up the car. He does several laps, warms up the car on the track, and they timed him. And then they tell me to get in it. And I wasn't fitted very well in the car. I was wearing my helmet. I think I had an old fire suit from the Toyota Grand Prix of Long Beach that I had done, and I was wearing my drag racing helmet. So I did several laps, I think about 20 laps in the car, and Richard was talking to me and telling me what was going on while I started getting really brave and pushing it. And apparently he told me to bring it in because it was starting to break loose. Well, I didn't hear him or understand him, and I was having way too much fun, and I was coming in this last lap really hot and just hit it hard in the turn, and the back end broke loose and the car started spinning all over, and I hit the back end first, and then it threw me into another wall in the front end, and it threw my head into the steering wheel. I bent the steering wheel. My forehead looked like the cartoon characters when they get knocked on the head. Whoop, the big bump just blew up on my forehead. And of course they came running and ended up having to bring me to the hospital and an ambulance, and then the blood from the bump went down under my eyes, and I had two black eyes, and I wasn't allowed to tell anybody that I was in the car or what we were doing. So I had to tell friends and family that I had had a rental car accident at the races, and that's how I got the black eyes. But I think I did fairly well. I was only a couple of seconds over Kevin's time, and but of course, I was the only one on the track. There was nobody else driving around me. It scared the heck out of me once I crashed and realized what could happen in these things. And they asked me, if I liked it and I wanted to do it again. I think I let, in my own way, without saying, I don't think I really want to do this. They knew I really didn't want to do it. My passion's always been motorcycles. I've considered Top Fuel. I've considered Funny Car. We actually tried for both of them. It didn't happen, but I was meant to be on a motorcycle. I wasn't meant to be in that cup car. Kind of glad it didn't happen. But it was definitely an exciting experience for the day, that's for sure. And right. Then, of course, several months later, I told my mom and dad what really happened.
And what was there still out there watching? Was their opinion of that? Were they upset? And after it was in the past?
No, my dad was like thrilled about it. And my mom was like, what? Because she really still does not like me on the motorcycle. It makes her a nervous wreck. So, of course, she doesn't want to see her little girl in a race car doing all that crazy stuff. If I had been raised doing that, maybe like Danica started in cars, go-karts, sure. But I wasn't. I've only been on two wheels. So throwing me in four wheels kind of got me off balance, even though there's four tires under me.
Which is, crazy in that, like, I'm more afraid of the motorcycles. Like, I see what you do and I can't relate, but I can't relate to what Ron Capps does either, but at least he doesn't have to balance, right? He steers the thing. You have to balance, you can fall off. Well, we saw what happened with Corey and all, like, that's frightening. And just courage to courage wise, like, I think there's tremendous courage to get on one of those bikes and do what you do. But then again, you've been doing it since you were a kid. And
yeah, 6 years old is when I started.
You feel
I don't know life without a motorcycle.
And it's good for the bikes. Like, you've been a great representative for that class. Look at how far it has come since. And thanks to, you and the predecessors, right? The John Myers, Dave Schultz, Terry Vance, like everybody like has helped elevate it to where it is right now. And some are saying that we're in the golden era right now because of the four valves and the 200 mile per hour runs and the parity. Well, you got Matt Smith and you've got you guys and you've got just
Steve
all
Johnson. Yeah.
Anybody can win right now.
Yeah. That's why it's so tough. You qualify, you hope and pray that you're going to qualify in the top half, because first round is a final round these days. And, I had Andrew Hines first round. Not only is he the winningest pro stock motorcycle racer in history, and my teammate, but he's also my crew chief. So he's making all the tune-up calls on my motorcycle to make me go fast, and I have to race him in the other lane. We had a couple races ago, we had a situation. I had a question. I'm on the starting line. There was a light on my dashboard that I thought I wasn't used to seeing. It ended up being a light that was already there. I just had never really paid attention to it before. And I'm trying to tell Scott, I don't know what this light is. I don't know if it's supposed to be on. And so he's got to run over to talk to Andrew to find out, you know, what are we going to do? Because Scott also was caught off guard by me asking what this light was. And so he has to go have a little conference with my crew chief, who's on his motorcycle in the other lane. So here we are trying to discuss this while we're both getting ready to stage. So that's something that doesn't happen for many people. I think the only other person that that would happen to is Angie or Scotty, you know, because I know Matt tunes both of their bikes. And I don't even know what the situation is over there. I know Angie makes calls and Scotty makes calls, but I'm 100% tuned by Andrew. So if I need to ask my crew chief his opinion when I'm racing him, he's in the other lane. So it gets kind of tricky.
In bike communications, like or something like that. Hey, Derek,
we need to do a radio headset so we can talk to each other.
Exactly. Derek's got a quick question. I will ask, how did driving the heavier Harley better your driving on the Suzuki? Is that something?
Yeah, actually, that's a good way to ask that question, because I've been asked the same type of question many times, like what's the difference between the Harley and the Suzuki? But no one's ever asked it to me that way. And that is an interesting way to put it, because it did not better me to race a Suzuki. It actually kind of messed me up, because the Harley Davidson was so heavy, had so much torque, wasn't aerodynamic, and really, really hard to drive. So I was having to, and I don't like this term, but don't know what else to say, manhandle it. You know, I'm having to yank it and pull it and put everything I have into keeping that motorcycle straight. And the Suzuki is actually a lot easier to get down the track in a straight line. And so when I first started riding the Suzuki, I was overcorrecting. I'm jumping off the side, I'm yanking the motorcycle, and I had to figure out how to settle that back down and have more finesse on the Suzuki. Now I still have to move quicker and stronger than Andrew and Eddie or anybody else that does it on the motorcycle, because I'm little. You know, if you have, I'm trying to think who all races Suzuki's. Let's Michael Phillips, for example, because he's a big, strong guy. If Michael Phillips' bike starts driving to the right, he can do just a little tiny shoulder movement and pull it right back. I can't do that because I'm 120 pounds with my helmet and leathers, and I'm on top of this motorcycle that's very heavy. So even though it takes less of a movement on the Suzuki than the Harley, I still have to do more than a bigger guy would do, if that makes sense to you.
It does. It does. Good question, Derek. Amazing. Congratulations on the win. I love the old school stories. I tell the one you shared when we did the happy hour with Gary Selzy a little bit earlier during the pandemic, the T-Wayne.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That was
like
fun.
I think about those days all the time. And, you know, we didn't know what we know now, you know, Winston and all that. But their investment in the sport really helped us get here. But we have a lot of problems at the R.J. Reynolds Tobacco Company, and money is not one of them.
That
quote stays with me all the time, and I can't help but laugh. Like,
that was all because I had made the comment that I wanted a lobster for dinner. I wasn't going to get it. I'm just a little Cajun girl from Louisiana. I live in a very small town. There's not a lot of money around here. You know, you don't get to eat lobster around here. We dig in the ditch and find crawfish, and that's what we eat. So I'm at this restaurant, there's lobster on the menu. Like, oh my gosh, I want the lobster so bad, but I would dare not ask for a lobster on someone else's bill. And so the word got around the table that Angel would like the lobster, but she's too afraid to ask for it because of the price. And that's when he got up and walked over. I think he said it was T. Wayne that did it, right? He walked over to me, and that's when he said, you know, we have a lot of problems, but money's not one of them. You order whatever the hell you want to eat. So I got the lobster that night, and it was fantastic.
That is awesome. Well, you deserve lobster. Maybe there's lobster in your future. Vegas, Pomona, points and a half. You know, you said you don't like to count points. There's two races to go. It's going to be so entertaining for everybody out there. Like, all the championships are still, like, in question and all that. How are you going to handle it?
I'm going to handle it. I'm going to remind myself Bristol was an awesome day for me. Sunday at Bristol was amazing because not only did I win the race, but I learned something very big that day. And that was the fact that although I wanted to win that race very badly, I had to set my mind on something else. And that was my safety and getting the motorcycle down the racetrack smoothly as possible, safely as possible, shifting on time, you know, don't hurt the engine, and just do my job and hope to make it on the turn off in one piece. And so because I was focused on that and not actually winning the race, because Andrew tells me all the time, I think too much, I'm thinking too far ahead. You know, I'm thinking about winning the race and I haven't even qualified yet. So I've learned from Bristol that I can actually do well or do better by focusing on the smaller things. And that'll be just having a good time, staying safe, and doing a good job on the motorcycle for that round. So I'm just going to look at that one round and enjoy it. And whatever happens, happens. And that's the other thing I've learned. You know, whatever happens, it's God's will. There's nothing I can do to change it. And by the end of the day, whether I'm the winner or not, I still get to come home to a beautiful family with great friends, and life is great. And I'm just going to enjoy every step of the way, and hopefully it'll work out in my favor.
Excellent. That's great. What about Halloween? You know, everybody, there's Halloween costumes and stuff sometimes.
That's funny you asked about that, because that is the one thing that my daughter gets mad about me racing for. She loves everything else about racing. She wants to go to the races. She's hard on me when I don't win. She wants me to win, but she hates the fact that I am racing on Halloween. And it happens. It's happened most of her life because, you know, we celebrate the Halloween on the 31st, no matter what day of the week it is. And a lot of her life, it's been a Friday or Saturday or a Sunday. And when it's during the week, I'm home. But when it's a Friday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I'm not here. I'm in Vegas for Halloween. And so she asked me just the other day, Mom, are you going to be home for Halloween? And I said, no, baby, I'm going to be racing in Vegas. And she started fussing, you're never home for Halloween. Why don't you stop racing? I hate it. I'm like, oh my goodness, Ava, you're getting so dramatic. She wants me to stop racing just because of Halloween. So I let her know, and this is kind of sad to even think, but it's probably true. I said, Ava, I think this is going to be the last Halloween that I'm going to be racing for. Because if you think about it, it's on Sunday. And next Halloween will be Monday. Well, I'll be back. If I'm racing, I'll be back Monday night. And then it'll be Tuesday. Then it'll be Wednesday. I don't know if I'm going to be racing in 4 more years. So This may be the last Halloween I ever have to miss.
And by the time it cycles back to Friday, Saturday, Sunday again, she'll be older and will understand.
Exactly. Won't care
and
about
we'll
it.
Come to the track and we'll love Halloween at the track, which is its own thing. There's candy. There's costumes. There's all this stuff going on. So great stuff. Angel, thank you.
Yeah, I didn't even answer your question, but Pro Stock Motorcycles, our class is so fun. Most everybody gets dressed up for Halloween on Saturday at Las Vegas Motor Speedway, and it's so much fun. Some of the costumes I've seen, do you remember Ryan's team last year or the year before? I can't remember when he did the Flying Ryan Airlines. It was awesome. He was dressed like the pilot. His crew guys were like the directing with the orange cone things, and the girls on his team were like flight attendants. It was so cute. And I've seen, I think Karen Stouffer's team did the Wizard of Oz 1 year. Everybody was a character in the Wizard of Oz. So it's just an awesome time. Ava definitely wants to go to Vegas for Halloween. And of course I won't let her, because that's one of the few that my husband and I go to together and we have a good time.
Right.
You know, that's the adult Disney World. Everybody loves to go to Vegas and have a good time. So the kids stay home for Halloween with grandma.
Sorry, kids. That's the way it goes. That's the way it goes in Vegas. Well, I like it. Yeah. Gary Stouffer as the dude a couple of years ago, Big Lebowski. And you mentioned Flying Ryan. You know, the guy he's a character, to say the least.
Yeah.
I know you saw a couple of photos of him with.
I was going to ask you if you saw those. That would be something that he would die if I sent you to put on the air one day, but it would serve him right.
Would he die?
Oh, my God. I don't know. He might actually like it. Just so the viewers will know. So when I raced Ryan at the racetrack first round, well, actually it started when we were the monster matchup or the marquee matchup?
Marquee matchup,
yes. Yeah, the marquee matchup.
If Monster decides to sponsor it, then we'll change it. But
that's right. So first round, I think it was Denver, we had to race each other. So when I left the racetrack, he went and took a bunch of our posters, and we had given him a bunch of mission chips, and he got down to his tidy whities, or I don't know what he was in, but he covered himself with bags of mission chips and had all my posters laying around him, and he looked like he was naked, and they took these like photo studio shots of him. And it was hilarious. I should have sent you these photos so that you could put them up. But anyway, it was hilarious. What's that? Do you have them?
No, I don't. I don't have them, but I have seen them. And I can tell you that there was a little worry about, like, what are the mission people going to think about this? You know what I mean? Like, are they going to
he thought I was going to get mad, but I thought it was absolutely funny and precious and fun, because you got to have rivalries in racing, and Ryan's the best one to have a rival with. But it did not stop there. So we had to race each other again, another first round, just recently. And he came, we have a life-size cutout, a mission cutout of me. He stole my cutout and had extravaganza the whole night with my cutout. So I ended up in his shower, in his motorhome, and he took pictures of my cutout in his shower. We were taking shots of tequila or vodka or something together. It wasn't me, it was my cutout. So he looks like he's taking a shot, he's giving the cutout a shot. There's another picture of, he's got my cutout laying in his bed. So, I mean, and he's just taking, you know, all in fun. Absolutely nothing bad happened. He's just using my life-size cutout to make, you know, to make fun with me. And he sent me these pictures. It was try to get in my head, try to make me mad so that he could beat me the next day. But it hasn't worked yet. Ryan, keep it up. Not working yet. But it's definitely in all fun. And I love him for it. And he's a great competitor. He's a genuine, just a sweet, sweet guy. And I love having him out there. And I wish him all the success in the world. And I was so glad to see him win when he did win. I think, was that last year? So he's got a little struggle going on right now, but he'll turn it around and come back.
That struggle bus, man, it's very challenging. Yep. He was just the target is always moving, right? Just when you get there, when you get all the answers, they change the questions. And but it's great that you've got such a review. I just sent him a quick text to see if he could fire off the thing via email. It's like a total shot in the dark that he would be looking at his phone at this exact second. If you've got it on your phone, you can email it to me and I can get it up onto the show in less than 1 minute. But that's you have that ability. I don't know if you're using your phone for the stream.
Yeah, I don't know what I'd have to look for them. They're back a little ways, but
it's way back. That was at the start of the year. That was in Gainesville or something, right? Like early on.
No, it was just he started it in Denver, which was July. And then the last one was just a few races ago when he stole my cutout. And then we came back to the track another day, like the next race. And the cutout was gone again. So I went straight to his trailer. I said, okay, Ryan, what did I do last night? And he said, oh, it wasn't me. I didn't take it this time. A fan had stole it that night.
Well, and his golf cart ended up on the roof of his trailer or something. And like everybody is attacking everybody, like Joey Gladstone and Corey. They have fun with the guy. Yeah. The bikes have a family atmosphere going on. Yeah. Even when there's anger, it's not that kind of anger. It's a different
It would be like a brother and sister getting in a fight. You know, you're going to argue, you're mad, the passion is there, the intensity is there, but at the end of the day, we all love and respect each other. We want to kill each other on the racetrack. When the helmets go on, we are not friends. But if something goes wrong with another person's motorcycle and there's somebody in the pit that can help, they will. I mean, even the biggest rivalries will show up with a part that the other person needs so that they can continue racing. And that's why I love not only the sport, but especially the Pro Stock Motorcycle class.
Tremendous. No, and I do too. It's not the same when you guys aren't there. It's not the same when Pro Stock isn't there. Like, we've got this thing. I know, I get why you're not at all the races, budget-wise, and just to be stretched so thin. But it is a different experience when one of our little family members isn't there. Angel, see you in Vegas. Thank you for doing this. Thanks for making such great time for us. And I really appreciate it. Great stories. I know there's a whole bunch more, by the way. Those old school Winston days. Yeah. You probably got to really.
Well, thank you so much for having me again. When I win a race, lots of things I get to do. Interview with Brian Lones in a little while, and had a radio interview that I had to miss the other day because I do have to play mom. They wanted me there at 8:00 in the morning, but that's when I'm driving my kids to school. So I wasn't able to make it, but that's the great part about winning racing. All of a sudden you get popular and everybody wants to talk to you. That's when you're not winning, it's like they just brush you under the rug. So I'm glad to be here.
There you go. Thank you, Angel. Have a good time out there. We'll see you in Vegas. Appreciate your time.
Bye. Thank you.
She goes, Angel. Oh, there we go. There she goes, Angel, with us here on WFO Radio. How about that? Great stories behind the scenes, insights to her and her career and all the different stuff she has done over the years. And by the way, she's not done yet because 25 points out of the championship lead. Like, that is very manageable. Half at the Auto Club Finals. Now, Matt Smith is going to have something to say about that, and others are going to have something to say. I don't think Steve Johnson is going to just roll over and play dead, but what does she have? She's got Andrew, and she's got Eddie, and she's got Vance and Hines, and she's got all that experience, and she's got her fans behind her. And the way I would say it, you know, I'm trying to sell tickets out here, honestly. Like, if you're a fan of Angel after all those years, why would you not be in Vegas and Pomona? Why would you not be in Vegas and Pomona? All right, guys, put your comments into the comments section. And if it was, look at this. The best was the Wonder Bread when he went into the sand. Yeah, all kinds of stuff going on behind the scenes. So I texted Flying Ryan, and I did not get a response because that's just a flyer, right? Like, hey, are you near your phone right now? And the answer is no. But I've seen the photograph, and now that it's not a problem for Angel, next time Ryan is on or Angel is on, we'll get that photo and we'll try to get it up and out there. Unless it were to come in the next couple of seconds, in which case then I'll just put it on the show. So put your comments in the comment section, guys. Like, what do you think is going to happen in Pro Stock Motorcycle over these next two races? We talked about the point standings. She's 25 behind Matt Smith. She's 50. Steve Johnson is 56 back. Eddie is 111 back. Scotty is 160 back. Karen is 201 back. So, no disrespect to Karen or even Scotty, but I think it's possible for Scotty to win the last two races, but depending on what Matt and Angel and Steve do, not be able to make up the ground. That's the problem when you get behind so many people in this multiplayer event that is the countdown. So, but Angel is right in the middle of it, right in the middle of it. And what would that mean for Angel Sampei, the winningest female driver in NHRA history, to go out and be able to compete and maybe even win another championship? I think we, as in all of us, right? Like, shortchanging her a little bit on her role in the sport. Like, where is she in the sport and the history of NHRA? She's definitely up there. And the big comeback and the big guy, she injured her foot. Remember that? And she fought through it. The girl has shown so much just strength over the years. And for being, a smaller person, it goes to show you, and I believe this, that it's not the size of the dog in the fight. It's the size of the fight in the person. And Angel is a perfect example of that. So thank you, and all her friends who shared the show and put it out there. Thank you very much. This is WFO Radio. We'd love to have you back on a regular basis. All right. So get comments in the comments section. And I'm going to talk to you about a couple other things. We're going to keep on going for a few more minutes here because I want to let you in on a couple of things that have happened. Couple of things that are going on. So first of all, our Patreon family. These are people who pay a monthly fee membership to get special and unique content for just them through Patreon, patreon.com/WFO radio. You can find it through the website, WFOradio.com. And there's all kinds of content. It's really like, the behind the scenes of WFO. And I consider the Patreons our VIP listener club and also advisory board. Like, if I've got a beef, like if I decide, I'm thinking about retiring from this whole deal, I'm going to the Patreons first and run it by them. And that's what being a Patreon is all about. You can get a yearly membership also. And, once you get a threshold, you get all of our gear, right? Like, you get these really cool, once you get to a certain threshold, you get the, the pin, right? Patreon certified, Patreon WFO, to wear at all of our secret meetings with Secret Society and all that stuff, Patreon. But in addition to the Patreons, we have our sponsors like Marvin Rodak, rodakscoffeeandgrills.com, the coffee. Roasted fresh per your order from all around the world. They've got unique gourmet coffee. Some of these coffee farms, they only make one bag of coffee a year. And Marvin gets it? How does he get it? It's exotic stuff, next level stuff. And it's roasted fresh. Like, you call, he pulls the beans out, he roasts them, he sends them out. It's a different level coffee experience for your coffee files out there. But the hot sauce and the spice rubs and the grills and the tools and the tips, go to the website, rodaxcoffeeandgrills.com, and give them a call, 817-924-6821. Total Seal Piston Rings, the leader in ring seal technology, totalseal.com. Go to the website, bounce around a little bit. You can put orders in at the website now. It's a brand new website, but you can also listen to the Hidden Horsepower Show and all these great engine builder celebrities, like at the Engine Performance Expo, which is where I got to hang out with George Bryce, which is where I got to, you know, hear all these old school stories. One of the other stories he told, which is not revolving around Angel, was revolving around Daryl Alderman and John Myers and the day that they swapped car and bike. That Daryl Alderman said, oh man, I could drive that motorcycle. And John Myers was like, I could drive that pro stock car. And they actually went somewhere and they did the car swap. And I got to hear George's version of this story and just amazing stuff. But I thank him for sharing me. Oh, let me see what I can do. It says Flying Ryan. Interesting. We'll see what he can do. It's in your phone, man. You just send. But that would be pretty good service. TotalSeal.com and check out that Engine Performance Expo for more great stories. More great stories from Warren Johnson and Roy Johnson and Tim Wilkerson. Like just great stuff. We had a good time. Samtech.edu, the School of Automotive Machinists and Technology. Start your education at full speed. And Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School, FrankHawley.com. And it is that time of the season where we'll start to reach out to some folks, approved folks for marketing partnerships in 2022. As you know, WFO Radio is it's more of a limited thing, right? We're not like banner ads, although the folks at CIP1 do a great job on our website. If you're into air-cooled Volkswagen stuff, KI and the folks at CIP1 support WFO Radio as a banner ad sponsor. We've got all kinds of different sponsorships, but next year we're going to kind of change the game a little bit and bring in, I think, some more relationships that understand that being involved with WFO Radio means like you're a trusted member of the community. That's the way we've kind of gotten it to the point. Want to ride everybody out as far as stickers go? P.O. Box 848-3533, Pembroke Pines, Florida, 33084. If you want some free stickers, you can find this address on the website as well. Just do all the busy work. Send a self-addressed stamped envelope, and I'll stuff it with stickers and send it back. All right, let's see what people have got to say out there. Let's see what people have, and I'll continuously refresh my email. Just refresh. I love the people at Mission Foods. They have done such a good thing with Angel and supporting that team. All right, here we go. Did John spray Daryl's car? Yeah, the whole nitrous thing. That was before that, I think. But that is a big part of NHRA history. Monica, that's the button that gets you in the door. What, the Patreons? Yeah, maybe so. Being involved in Patreon, you know, it's a choice. We don't ask everybody to do it. We know that not everybody is going to do it. And we like it that way. It's a secret society, if you will. The Patreons. WFO is the ultimate insider. The Patreon experience is fantastic. Wow, Scott, thank you very much. I always like to downplay it a little bit. Like you're really not getting very much for your money, but maybe you are. And that's it. It's just it's a matter of opinion. And I appreciate our Patreons. Like they are the best. Okay, let's see. Is Angie Smith going to be good for Vegas? Don't know. Angie is tough. Like our lady, we just spoke with Angel and Angie and just thinking about the lady racers and pro stock motorcycle, like the grit and determination. Angie smashed her finger so badly. She goes, do you want to see the pictures? And I was like, no, because I'm a little squeamish, but I checked out. I watched them just as a toughness test and I got through it, but she hurt herself badly. And she took the pain, you know, take the pain. She took it and did not shed a tear. In fact, went out there and just, you know, suffered the rest of the weekend. I bet she's hurting right now, though. And I don't know if she's going to need some surgery or what, but it looked nasty. And the fact that she could just take it and go out throughout the rest of the weekend, that's toughness. Tony says, Pro Stock Motorcycle is awesome. One of the most competitive classes in NHRA. I think the competitive field is the best in any motorsport. Well, it's certainly arguable. Thank goodness NHRA approved the 4-valve per cylinder cylinder heads. Number one, the 200 mile per hour mark. We're hitting it now on a regular basis. You see a 200 up on the board and Ryan Carr can go, oh, look at 200. And everybody goes, wow, 200. And it's just an exciting thing that happens. but look at Chris Bostic. He's fast. And you got Steve Johnson of the Monster Head. He's fast. And you got Angel. She's fast. Like, all of a sudden, it's opened up the development to a bunch of different people. And right now, and speaking of George Bryce, who, you know, what's he got? 84 Wallys over there at Star Racing in his career. He says that right now, he thinks that this has been the most entertaining and competitive time for pro stock motorcycle. And Steve Johnson had a terrible weekend out there. Nightmare. But he's still in it. He's not done yet. Not done yet. Yeah, a challenge to go to a track that no one has been to in this century. Because I think 2000 was the last one. And like Jim says, wait till Matt gets his Suzuki out. We're seeing a whole sea change in pro stock motorcycle. Kelly Klontz. How about Kelly? Congratulations getting that first round win out there. Good job. Fitzy Garage from Warsaw, Poland. Thanks for another great episode. All right, Fritzel. Am I saying that right? Fritzel Garage, here's the deal. You are now our contact in Warsaw, Poland. And we're charging you with the task of letting your friends know that WFO exists and that they can connect with NHRA drag racing via the internet multiple times a week and through audio only podcast. Tell your friends, do we need to send you some stickers? Let me know. I hear we're big in Warsaw, Poland. Appreciate you guys out there. Corey Savoie, the four valve and the Busa body combination. Yeah. Things need to evolve. That's it. Whatever it is, it will stagnate. And you cannot, you as in rules makers, cannot allow things to stagnate. There always has to be changing. And I know changes cost money. Changes cost money. But like, look at Formula One, right? Like, they'll change and it'll be great. And then they'll change and it won't be good. And then they'll change and it'll be great again. They are constantly evolving. They know that there needs to be change. Things tend to stagnate. The day we do a pre-race show where all the drivers are jumping out of a plane and parachuting in, that'll be amazing the first time we do it. But if we do it for 5 years straight and the fifth year of the drivers parachuting in, people will be like, we've seen this before. And that's just the nature of it. Garlitz told me one time, we're talking about, should we try to go 340? Should we try to go 350? And he said, no. And I said, why? He goes, well, the second you go 340, people are going to ask, can you go 350? And the second you go 350, they're going to ask, can you go 360? And so there's got to be different ways of evolving. Like, that's the thing. People get complacent about a certain number. And so I guess I maybe made a point against my point, which is you got to mix it up. But also, people always want to see something fresh. Let's see what Tom says. Why don't they bring in the funny bikes and the top fuel bikes? We have that, Tom. It's called Top Fuel Harley Davidson, and they have it out there. Now, they're all nitro Harleys, like Spider-Man doesn't come out there and race, but I'd like to see that. But then again, Spider-Man's running 550s. And I think there's a parity thing, like we're already struggling to create parity, but the Top Fuel Harleys are out there, and they're amazing and just different than the Pro Stock motorcycles, just like Pro Stock is different than Top Fuel in and of itself. Let's see. Those pictures made me lightheaded. Which pictures? I don't know. What else? I already got this one. Jeremy says determination. Mike says, congratulations on the awesome win. This is for Angel. Got it to her too late. Thank you to bring Pro Stock bikes on the map. As I said, and never followed the bike until now. You've shown that it is first class division. Hope to see more and more bikes coming in the series. I agree. Love Angel, but really like to see Steve Johnson win the title. Well, that's the thing. We can make a very competitive argument as to why Steve Johnson winning the title will be great. Thanks for clarifying the pronunciation of your name. I've already always said Angel. And now I know it's Angel, which I learned that thanks to spending a little time down there. Great show, says Cody. Mitchell says, great show. Thank you very much. Fun interview. And there you go. Any final comments down there? Angie Smith, the photos she posted. Yeah, they were disgusting and gross, but that's her finger and it. You know, why don't they bring, okay, there you go. That's, I've gotten through all the comments. Now I want to bring up one more thing. Tomorrow we have Alexis on 1 o'clock tomorrow, Alexis DeJoria. That is going to be a whole lot of fun, but there's a little sub story brewing in the NHRA that I, you know, people have talked about it, but I want to like pump it up, which is the rookie of the year battle. It is my understanding that the Rookie of the Year nominees are officially going to be released soon. Maybe they've already been released. Maybe they're up there right now on NHRA.com. I don't know. Very soon. Let me check. I'm checking. Whenever you see me do this, it's because I'm checking something. Oh, look, K-Mac with a new sports report talks about Stanfield taking a shot at the fifth championship. But no, I don't see the Rookie of the Year candidates posted just yet, the nominees. The Rookie of the Year battle is the most vicious we've ever seen because you have two standout candidates. You've got Dallas Glenn, pro stock, two race winner, young driver, crewman, was going to do a couple of races, and his success was so obvious, and his reason and desire for being there was so obvious that full-time sponsorship was immediately secured. And now through 2022, Dallas Glenn will be out there, Rookie of the Year candidate. Winning in pro stock, some consider the most challenging category. And then you've got Josh Hart, who was going to do a part-time team, and he was going to show up and just carry his helmet. And he told us a couple of weeks ago when that fell apart, he was like, well, we're going to buy this team. And he bought the team, and he secured sponsorship, and he has been involved in a whole bunch of different stuff, good and bad out there, winning against Brittany and involved in a whole bunch of different stuff. And so Josh Hart has two race wins and an unbelievable set of statistics, by the way, the Josh Hart statistics. Oh, here we go. Flying Ryan comes through. I've been stalling this whole time, guys, for this picture, but I'm not going to share it until you share the show. That's it. But I want to get to my Rookie of the Year stats because this is pretty nutty. Okay. Rookie of the Year candidate, Josh Hart. Like they're campaigning is my point. They are campaigning. Like, listen to this versus countdown contenders. Josh Hart is 12-8. He's 2-0 against Mike Salinas. He's 2-0 against Leah. He's 3-1 against Justin Ashley. What does that tell you? He's 2-2 against Brittany Force. He's 1-1 against Clay and Langdon. He's 1-2 to Torrance and 0-1 against Billy. But this guy's battled the champions to a stalemate, 2-2 against Brittany. 1-1 against Langdon and 1-2 against Steve Torrance. How do I find out this information? Well, it was presented to me in the battle for Rookie of the Year, which is not only a battle amongst drivers, but it's a battle among classes, top fuel versus pro stock, right? There's a lot of people that discredit pro stock because top fuel is faster, but the pro stock guys, like they're going to probably be going for Dallas Glenn. And the top fuel guys are probably going to be going for Josh Hart. Like, there's a whole bunch of legends of top fuel that are all on board with Josh Hart getting the award, which is pretty amazing. Like, listen to this quote. Garlitz, he's having a hell of a season and it ain't over. I hope Josh gets Rookie of the Year. I'll tell you, the guy told his son when he wanted to be an artist, he either said, you're an artist or you're not an artist. You don't learn how to be an artist. Same with being a good driver. You can't buy it. You can't learn it. You just got to be it. Josh is a good driver. You can take another guy just like him, put him in the same car and train him and train him and train him. He won't ever be able to do it. Says Garlitz. The Rookie of the Year fight is not just a fight amongst two drivers that want it. The Rookie of the Year fight is a fight between classes. Between cultures, pro stock versus top fuel fights are becoming a thing. All right, you guys ready to see the Flying Ryan picture? Share the show. I need everybody to share the show. Look at this guy, says Dallas Glenn, because he can do it all, right? He works on the car, but Josh Hart secured the sponsorship, bought the team. Like, there's a whole bunch of stuff other than driving. Like, driver for driver, they're probably even, right? Dallas Glenn has run a full season. Josh Hart has not run a full season. Should he be punished for not running a full season? I don't know. Dallas Glenn has run a full season, but Dallas Glenn doesn't own the team. Somebody else owns the team. Should he be punished for that? I don't know. Let's lock in on this Rookie of the Year deal. Has anyone shared the show yet? This is it. Here we go. I like Josh because he's from Florida. That's a very easy way to do it. I like Josh. I like them both. I like them both. It's very tough. Like, I am immediately trying to split the baby. Let's split that baby and make him co-rookie of the year. But people don't like that. But really, though, how do you say one is not deserving? It's like when Ryan Newman got rookie of the year over Jimmy Johnson. Like, really? Well, he won 8 races and Jimmy only won 6 or something. Like, I don't know. All right, guys. Angel said that Flying Ryan does funny things, and a WFO exclusive, Flying Ryan Ayler. Covered in Mission tortilla chips. This is the kind of stuff that happens behind the scenes at the NHRA. Pro Stock Motorcycles. It's a little late. Good job, Flying Ryan. Thank you very much. We still got to have our battle. We're going to do it in the winter. Flying Ryan and Pro versus Joe. And I will race against the professionals out there and I will beat them. Yes, that's how we're going to end this edition of WFO Radio. Feel free to put your reactions in the comment section. Oh my gosh, what do you think of Flying Ryan? Oh my gosh. But I was happy to hear that Angel thought it was very funny. Oh, here come. Tony Ross, the rookie of the year battle shows the NHRA is in good hands and moving forward. Absolutely, it does, Tony. That's exactly what I took out of it, that you've got these young racers that are both very successful, that both want to win rookie of the year. They want it. They want it bad. They're doing it. Their PR staffs are out there creating stats and videos and putting them out there, and let's make it a war, man. Let's make it a battle. Blake says, Joe, are there guidelines for becoming a rookie of the year candidate? Yes, which I got a little wrong earlier. I forgot that Kid Chaos had run his minimum number of races. I think it's 7. John Cerbone, I wish I can unsee that. Yeah, but John, check this out, though. Look at this one. Oh, no, you can't. It's so terrible. And that's why it's funny. Can't unsee it. You'd seen it already, Corey Savoie, but now the audience had seen it. All right, this is WFO. Angel tests a cup car with Kevin Harvick and Richard Childress' story. And then that, you know, that should be enough to win some listeners. And those of you listening on the audio-only podcast, you should probably be thankful in this case. Tomorrow, 1 o'clock Eastern time, we're going to have Alexis DeJoria, Rocket Phones and Bandero Premium Tequila. We're going to hear from Alexis. She's going to be fired up. And then it's an off weekend. All right, guys. Remember, the Ignition show's in the archive. Reinhardt was on with us yesterday. We'll see you next time right here on WFO Radio.